Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas. Welcome to Our Shepherd's View. I'm Barbara Little here with Bishop Michael Mulvey on Palm Sunday. Today we'll be reflecting on the Gospel from St. Matthew and talk about Holy Week. Stay with us and we'll be right back.
It's time to register early for Deer Creek Camp. The Office of Youth Ministry of the Diocese of Corpus Christi invites 7 to 17-year-olds to Deer Creek Camp, July 16 through 21st. It'll be a week of archery, kayaking, canoeing, water slides, a faith walk, ski obstacles, water towers, arts and crafts, fishing, and so much more. The camp is in the hill country along the banks of the Medina River. Individual time, air-conditioned cabin time, great food, Holy Mass, adoration, and reconciliation are offered throughout the week. The registration deadline is June 1st or until camp maximum of 90 is reached. For complete information, call Heath Garcia at the Diocesan Office of Youth Ministry, 882-6191, or visit diocesecc.org/Deer Creek Camp.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Good morning, Bishop. How are you this morning?
I'm fine, Barbara. And you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Good. And happy Sunday to everyone listening today.
That's right. It's hard to believe that we are now upon Holy Week.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
It really is. It's been a fast period of time, but hopefully grace-filled for everyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to be a wonderful week for all of us. All right, today we are going to have two readings, since this is Palm Sunday. So we're going to be reading for the first half about the procession of palms, and then after the break, we're going to read the gospel, the Passion Gospel.
Right. We have two gospels today, so let us begin and recollect ourselves. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When Jesus and the disciples drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find an ass tethered, and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them here to me. And if anyone should say anything to you, reply, 'The master has need of them.' Then he will send them at once." This happened so that what had been spoken through the prophet might be fulfilled. "Say to daughter Zion, behold, your king comes to you, meek and riding on an ass, and on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden." The disciples went and did as Jesus had ordered them. They brought the ass and the colt and laid their cloaks over them, and he sat upon them. The very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and strewn them on the road. The disciples preceding him and those following kept crying out and saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was shaken and asked, "Who is this?" And the crowds replied, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, again, this is, you know, for people that are going to Mass this morning, they'll have the palms and the whole procession, and it's just a beautiful, beautiful Sunday.
Right. I think this is one of the beautiful things about the church and our liturgies, and is to, in many ways, in this, especially during this week, is to almost reenact those moments that are the high points of our liturgical year, and beginning with the entry of Jesus into Jerusalem, you know, on the back of a humble, meek animal, an ass. And so to be able to gather in parishes and in a sense react that moment as we enter into the church is a really a powerful beginning for Holy Week.
It really is. And if I remember correctly from last year, all of the priests are dressed in the red vestments, and it's just very moving.
That's right.
It's breathtaking when you walk in.
Exactly. And it's, you know, and I think sometimes we go through the motions so often year after year, but really it would be good if all of us this year kind of take note of the different, we're in red now, which means we're preparing for this moment of martyrdom. It's a moment. Also, the red is a sign of regality, regalness. And so Jesus is the king entering into his town. And of course, the palms, which we use here, I think other places may use olive branches. So we call it Palm Sunday. It's probably more precisely Passion Sunday, because we will be reading in the next segment and today at the liturgy of the Passion according to St. Matthew. So it's really filled with so many visuals.
Right.
And we move from outside the church if you're able to. And of course, some parishes, because there's the time in between the masses, they can't do the whole thing. But just to appreciate the beauty of this day.
Mm-hmm. And the symbolism that goes along
with it. And the symbolism with it, sure. Absolutely.
Right. Well, when I was researching this, of course, since this is the cycle that we're in, I read in my lecture book that St. Matthew claims that Jesus' actions fulfilled the words of the prophets, saying that in Jesus, God's hidden plans for the chosen people were being carried out.
Yes. You know, I mean, this is the marvelous thing about the scriptures and about you know, what the evangelists could see and look back, because they were men of faith, and as they gathered around Jesus, he obviously was teaching them and referring back to the prophets of the Hebrew scriptures. And so we have one even here where the prophet says, "Behold, your king comes to you meek and riding on an ass, on a colt, foaled of a beast of burden." And so this prophecy is really fulfilled in this person. Mm-hmm. Of course, all these are signs that he is the one. He is the one to bring redemption to the human race, to reconcile you and I to God through his very life. And so all these little signs become fulfillments of prophecies. And of course, there's a mistaken, as there was all along in his 3 years of public ministry, there was always the mistaken image of who this king was or who this king would be, more of a political leader, one to expel the Romans and liberate the Jewish people from foreign domination. But Jesus obviously has God's plan in mind, which was not just for an external kind of liberation, but an internal reconciliation with God from our sins.
Well, and the crowd was greeting him using two messiah kind of mm-hmm. titles, Son of David and He Who Comes. And Bishop, I had asked you this before we started recording, our audience may know, but I wanted to know more. Why are they calling Jesus the Son of David?
Right. Well, he's oftentimes the Son of Man, the Son of God, the Son of David. David, of course, was the Messiah, was to come from the heritage of David, King David. And so if we look back at the beginning of St. Matthew's Gospel, he gives us a genealogy broken up into the 14, you know, so-and-so was the son of so-and-so, and et cetera, et cetera. Until we come to the point of David, that he was that... There is a son of David, and then, of course, Solomon was the son of David, and then all the way up to Joseph, who was the husband of Mary. So it's really following that that line of the Messiah, that mm-hmm. the Messiah would come from the house of David. And so as they're using this title, this messianic title, as you said, they are really acclaiming the fact, proclaiming and acclaiming the fact that this is the one that is sent for the liberation of the people of Israel. So that's part of it. And then the other, it also shows his humanity,
right,
that he's coming from the human line of descendancy. The other, to call him Son of God, is, of course, proclaiming that this is the one from God. But to say he is the one, he who comes, again, is that expectation, that one that we are expecting, we're waiting for, and he is the one, he who comes. And of course, we complete it now with he who comes in the name of the Lord. I think another beautiful part of this gospel is that this is really where our sanctus comes before we begin the words of consecration for Mass. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Both at the beginning when Jesus comes and the angels are proclaiming Hosanna, but also as he's entering now, this proclamation of he who comes who has come to us to save us. And so it's one that I think, you know, for us, for our part, for our spiritual renewal during this week, as we begin, we say, he who comes, has he really come into our life? We're there physically, hopefully, today at Mass, if we can. But, you know, have we really welcomed him into our city, into the city of Jerusalem we proclaim today? But he also, day after day, has to enter into our city, which is the city of our life. So to welcome him today as he who comes, who is sent by God to come into our lives.
Mm-hmm. And make sure he's in our hearts. And of course, he, with all of this joy and this celebration that's going on today, he knew what was going to happen to him.
Sure.
In the next couple of days.
And if we remember a couple of weeks ago in the Transfiguration, you know, Peter spoke about don't let this happen, you know, and we remember what Jesus said to him very strongly, get behind me, Satan, you're thinking the way human beings think, not the way God thinks. And this happens throughout all of our lives. We right. think in our terms, we can figure things out, et cetera, et cetera. But as we go through, and I would really like to stress this over and over, as we enter into this Holy Week and we go through this week, this is God's plan. And many times in our own life, God's plan certainly is wiser than ours, but it's God's road for us, and it was the road for Jesus to bring us to salvation. So kind of walk with Jesus and ride along with him in this gospel, because it's God's plan. And whatever situation we're in life today, you know, it can be part of God's plan. It certainly is part of God's plan, whether it's comfortable or uncomfortable.
All right, and it's a good week, since we'll be spending a lot of time in church, to think about past blessings and past plans. And mm-hmm. sometimes you have to look back to realize right. where you are right now, and that it was God's plan and he had a reason for it.
Exactly.
You know, the light bulb goes off sometimes.
Exactly. Yeah, and I think I've used the image before of the golden thread.
Right.
And this is the moment, you know, as Jesus and his disciples begin to look back at everything he had said up to this point now being fulfilled. That's in our life too, that there's somehow a golden thread, and this is a good week, as you said very well, that this is a good week to look back and see the golden thread of God's plan in our life and to give thanks for it, not to wish it was something else, but to give thanks for God's plan.
Mm-hmm. And, there was a reason for everything.
There is, certainly is.
We are going to take a short break, and we will be right back.
The Diocese of Corpus Christi Office of Vocations will present Explore, a discernment retreat July 26th through 30th at Camp Aranzazu in Rockport. Explore is a summer experience for young men who want to understand their faith better and know themselves better and make new friends from all over the diocese. Catholic young men who are enrolled in high school or who will be enrolling this fall, as well as recent high school graduates, are invited to participate and to explore. Explore is not just all talks and prayers. It's fun, too. Facilities include fishing, sports, swimming, and more. The staff consists of priests, deacons, seminarians, and others who are considering a vocation to the priesthood. This weekend retreat helps young men decide whether or not the priesthood is what God wants for them. The Office of Vocations is waiting to hear from you. 361-334-2781.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Bishop, we had talked about how we're going to be reading two Gospels this week, so this is the short version of the Passion.
Right. We're going to do the short version for the sake of time, but certainly it's always good to meditate on these these Gospels of the Passion. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
Jesus stood before the governor, Pontius Pilate, who questioned him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus said, "You say so." And when he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he made no answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many things they are testifying against you?" But he did not answer him one word, so that the governor was greatly amazed. Now on the occasion of the feast, the governor was accustomed to release to the crowd one prisoner whom they wished. And at that time they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when they had assembled, Pilate said to them, "Which one do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus called Christ?" For he knew that it was out of envy that they had handed him over. While he was still seated on the bench, his wife sent a message to him, "Have nothing to do with this righteous man. I suffered much in a dream today because of him." The chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowds to ask for Barabbas, but to destroy Jesus. The governor said to them in reply, "Which one of the two do you want me to release to you?" And they answered, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "Then what shall I do with Jesus called Christ?" They all said, "Let him be crucified." But he said, "Why? What evil has he done?" They only shouted the louder, "Let him be crucified." When Pilate saw that he was not succeeding at all, but that a riot had broken out, he took water and washed his hands in the sight of the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. Look to it yourselves." And the whole people said in reply, "His blood be upon us and upon our children." Then he released Barabbas to them. But after he had Jesus scourged, he handed him over to be crucified. When the soldiers of the governor took Jesus inside the praetorium and gathered the whole cohort around him, they stripped off his clothes and threw a scarlet military cloak about him. Weaving a crown out of thorns, they placed it on his head and a reed in his right hand. And kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" They spat upon him and took the reed and kept striking him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the cloak, dressed him in his own clothes, and led him off to crucify him. As they were going out, they met a Cyrenian named Simon. This man they pressed into service to carry his cross. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of the skull, they gave Jesus wine to drink mixed with gall. But when he had tasted it, he refused to drink. After they had crucified him, they divided his garments by casting lots. Then they sat down and kept watch over him. And they placed over his head the written charge against him, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Two revolutionaries were crucified with him, one on his right and the other on his left. Those passing by reviled him, shaking their heads and saying, "You who destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself if you are the Son of God, and come down from that cross." Likewise, the chief priests and the scribes and elders mocked him and said, "He saved others. He cannot save himself. So he is the King of Israel? Let him come down from the cross now, and we will believe in him. He trusted God. Let him deliver him now if he wants him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" The revolutionaries who were crucified with him also kept abusing him in the same way. From noon onward, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. And about 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Some of the passers-by who heard it said, "This one is calling for Elijah." Immediately one of them ran to get a sponge. He soaked it in wine and, putting it on a reed, gave it to him to drink. But the rest said, "Wait, let us see if Elijah comes to him." But Jesus cried out again in a loud voice and gave up his spirit. And behold, the veil of the sanctuary was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth quaked, rocks were split, tombs were opened, and the bodies of many saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming forth from their tombs after his resurrection, they entered the holy city and appeared to many. The centurion and the men with him who were keeping watch over Jesus feared greatly when they saw the earthquake and all that was happening. They said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Always a very powerful and moving gospel, and we'll hear the full version of it on Good Friday. And we've heard this before, but can you talk a little bit, Bishop, about when he was on the cross and he said, right before he died, he said, my God, why have you forsaken me?" I mean, I read that and I think that he's feeling abandoned mm-hmm. by God.
Well, it's very interesting you asked that question. It's really, I think it is the question of humanity. It's, you know, sometimes we read the gospel, or especially we read the Passion, as a story. And so we see it as a historical story, which it is. But with the eyes of faith, we have to look deeper. And that is what faith is. It's mm-hmm. entering into the dimension that we don't see just from the details of the story. And so what was happening in that moment, which is really something that is being more and more looked at today than has ever been in the past, past history. And, of course, these are the words of Psalm 22, where the lament was, "Why have you forsaken me, my God?" But Jesus certainly could have been using, being a good Jewish young man, in the temple, etc., prayer, and those words he knew well. But more than just the words, many theologians and spiritual writers are saying he was experiencing those words. What does it mean? It means that God certainly, by nature, could not abandon him. I mean, it's impossible to even think of God abandoning his own
son.
Himself, really,
right.
as God. But Jesus, on Jesus' part, out of love for us, came to us to redeem us. And in order to redeem us, he has to experience everything that we do, that is part of being human and that needs to be redeemed. What alienates the human person and what alienates us today from God is not that we just don't believe in God or we don't, and people don't, but because they believe in their sin. And so it is sin that really alienates us from God, our own personal sin, the sins of the world. And it's in the experience of sin where this experience of alienation is. Now, Jesus did not sin. We know that as God,
right.
he could not sin. But in this moment, many are saying, and I tend to really embrace that he was experiencing the effect of sin, which is alienation from God. So that as our Redeemer, he had to also experience what we experience, which is alienation from God. Can this be testified to in the Scriptures? Yes. If you look at the second letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians in chapter 5, verse 21, St. Paul says that he who knew no sin became sin for our sake in order to reconcile us to God. So the one who did not know sin, meaning he could not sin, but he allowed himself to enter into the experience of sin. In this moment, this is what Jesus is doing.
Would be our sin?
The universal sin.
Universal sin.
It's our own personal sins. It's our own. And more than sin, I mean, I use that certainly, but I mean, are also our failures. I mean, who failed more in a human sense, not obviously in a divine sense, but in a human sense, Jesus could say, but I failed too. Who feels abandoned? I felt abandoned. Who feels alone? I felt alone. Who is caught in their sin? I'm caught in my I'm caught in your sin. So here he identifies totally with us. It's if each one of us during this week would just take the experience that we have as human beings and look at it and see, can any of us this week say, you don't understand me after seeing those words? Why have you abandoned me? There's no situation in human life that that we can say Jesus does not understand because of this moment. And so we also know the other side of that is that Jesus said, into your hands I commend my spirit in St. John's Gospel. So out of this feeling abandoned, he restated his faith. And this is where he redeemed us. Out of the depths of agony and abandonment, he put us back and reconciled us to God, saying, into your hands I commend my spirit. It's the most powerful moment, I think, on the cross, beyond even the physical suffering.
Right.
Because it's what all of us go through ourselves.
And this is the week for us to reflect on that.
Exactly.
Take some time and reflect on
Very
that.
Very much.
Yeah.
Yes.
He knows what we're going through.
Sure. Every day.
He's with us. Right. Well, and we have a lot going on this week. We have the Chrism Mass tomorrow night.
Yes, well, Tuesday night.
I would certainly
invite people to come to the cathedral at 7 p.m., I believe it is. It's the time that the bishop consecrates the Holy Chrism for ordinations, for confirmations, for baptisms with the priest, the perfumed oil, the sacred chrism that will be used throughout the diocese this year, as well as the oil for the sick and the oil for baptism. So it's a beautiful liturgy in which the priests also renew their vows as priests. So I would invite our listeners to be there with us on Tuesday night at the cathedral.
Right. And then in our individual parishes, we'll have Holy Thursday on Thursday evening and Good Friday.
Exactly. Yes. So blessed Holy Week to all.
Blessed. Bishop, if you could close with a prayer and a blessing for us, please.
Sure. Let us pray. Almighty, ever-living God, you have given the human race Jesus Christ, our Savior, as a model of humility. He fulfilled your will by becoming man and giving his life on the cross. Help us to bear witness to you by following his example of suffering and make us worthy to share in his resurrection. And we ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for listening to us on this beautiful Sunday. Have a good rest of your weekend and a blessed Holy Week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.